Peace. Members, nothing in this bill, absolutely nothing in this bill, bans the teaching of historical facts about slavery, sexism, racial oppression, racial segregation, and racial discrimination.
Isn't all the bill says is you cannot make someone feel uncomfortable because you're blaming them for the Holocaust, not that you can't feel discomfort with the event itself.
Representative Avila.
Yep, that's what the bill says. Brian Avila, the sponsor of HB 7, the Stop Woke Act, and Randy Fine, they're asking the question, trying to clarify. It's kind of interesting because Brian Avila is, I sometimes wonder that we pick the wrong people to run some of these bills just because of, you know, their willingness to really engage the arguments, level of articulation. Everybody's got different skills, and there's got to be the bills get spread around a lot of people. But that's been one of my concerns, is that a couple of the bill sponsors for these big bills this year didn't seem to me to be the best arguers that we could have put up. I think Randy Fine probably would have done a better job at this. Or our own state representative from District 2, Alex Andrade, who joins us now by phone. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. But to your point, I think it depends on what you're trying to get out of it. You know, Republicans have been very successful in Florida in maintaining the majority. I will challenge you to find a single Democrat who likes myself or Randy Fine more than they like Brian Avila as a human being. Brian Avila is, you know, a National Guardsman. He's a, you know, a teacher in classrooms. He's an extremely patient, understanding, generous, you know, Florida House member. And so if the idea is to not inflame and infuriate debate, to extend it longer, knowing that you probably have the votes to pass a bill, Brian Avila is the perfect person to run that bill.
Well, now that you say that, it is interesting because, of course, it became almost a joke, the repeated Anna Eskamani would get up and talk, and she'd be like, "I hope you like this amendment." And he'd say, "Well, she is a friend, and she is a very friendly person, but this is an unfriendly amendment." And it kind of became this running joke about all these different things. And then other, like Dodi Joseph would be like, "Well, am I friendly too?" And, you know, I can see what you're saying. Like, they totally disagree with him, but they like him, which, of course, puts him in a position of persuasiveness and kind of de-escalation for the conversation. So, okay, you're right. For my sake, I want the argument, I want the issues, and for the sake of passing the bill as quietly as possible. Not that this passed quietly. But this Stop Woke Act, I'll tell you the one thing, the concern that I have had, is that I don't, a lot of the remedies here I'm concerned about, and I am concerned about the remedy here and the difficulty of proving in a cause of action that something went beyond the instructional materials and therefore assigned a felt guilt to somebody, as opposed to simply teaching the instructional materials and then somebody happened to feel guilt because of them. How is that going to play out in sort of the, you know, cause of actions?
So I said in my debate yesterday on the House floor when we passed it, this bill is completely focused on the power dynamic. It's not focused on the perception of the individual recipient. You know, this is a teacher putting on a multiple choice test that, you know, white people are to blame for X. This is a employer, you know, putting in some kind of a PowerPoint that's required instruction. You know, the best example was how to be less white. It was an actual, you know, professional development course that some employees were required to participate in at a large employer in the state. And some of the examples of how to be less white were to be less oppressive and be less arrogant and, you know, be less condescending. You know, so it's those types of things. And I'll also note that, you know, this is being the majority of this bill goes into, you know, our current Florida Civil Rights Act, which has been around for a very long time, you know, over, you know, 20, 25 years. And the standard for litigation doesn't change. You know, I've scoured the bill. There's nothing in there that would change exactly how our lawsuits on violations of the Florida Civil Rights Act would, you know, proceed. You know, it's not nearly as much of a litigation issue, and it's just far more of exactly addressing the types of, you know, discrimination that we're seeing today with, you know, woke corporations. corporations and teachers trying to, you know, indoctrinate students to form a conclusion specifically instead of teaching the facts and allowing students to process them how they see fit.
So this is less intended as a punishment after the fact and much more intended as a deterrent, discouragement to make people rethink how they're presenting things to make sure that they're not doing it in an inappropriate way, which I still worry about the level of lawsuits that or the level of cause of action that might come after. But, you know, if it basically takes it, as you say, teachers who feel invulnerable and invincible in these areas and have been misbehaving or corporations, it makes them rethink some of their stuff. I don't mind that at all. I kind of like that, obviously. The other one that y'all passed was the Parental Rights Act, the one that this is out of the House, of course, not yet into law. But it was the Parental Rights Act. What the opponents are saying, don't say gay. And we've talked about this a little bit before, but to me, what proves the point we're making about indoctrination in the schools is that the other side, it just gets so lit up about just saying you shouldn't talk about this stuff to seven-year-olds.
Right. I mean, I can't say it any better. I haven't spoken to a single person when I asked that question who said, no, we absolutely should be, you know, teaching, you know, gender reassignment surgery and, you know, the nitty gritty details about, any kind of sexuality to a second grader.
Yeah. And that's,
I mean,
and
this isn't sex education.
Right.
I mean, this is indoctrination. It's a bill completely focused on indoctrination that gets vilified by folks who apparently want to leave that door open for second graders.
And it's, you know, I know sometimes conservatives run into the same problem where, you know, every small encroachment on important domain for our, you know, side of the aisle, we treat a little bit more like it's the end of the world. But you are seeing this again and again on in Tallahassee that, you know, even fairly mild things like this, just, you know, like it's nuclear war, and it shouldn't have to be.
I caused a fuss on the floor yesterday, you know, on the going back to the Stop Book Act. I said, listen, this isn't a bill about civil rights. It's a free market bill in the marketplace of ideas. I think your concern really is just that you no longer have the market cornered on victimhood, and you thought that I'd, you know, robbed a bank. The outrage is present, but the reasons for that outrage are not.
Now, why is it again that you don't run these big bills? I was listening to County Commission and CPAC and Biden yesterday. I didn't get a chance to watch the debate, and I figured it would be mostly repetitive, but I'm definitely going to go back and catch your comments on this because I think I'll find them interesting. Representative, you have proposed something that, you know, had it only been in place 2 years ago, which of course it wasn't, but it has to do with making sure that going forward, big construction projects, if they fail, like Skanska failed us during Hurricane Sally, they can't get out of paying by appealing to sort of like the maritime law exclusions and things like that. Can you tell people what you've put in place? Because I'm so glad you're doing this so nobody else has to suffer this. Obviously, we wish it would have been in place before. But what is the add-on you've got?
Thanks, Andrew. So I've been working with, you know, some of the lawyers that are involved in that case right now. And the question really was, how do I make sure that no one's ever in this position again in the state of Florida? So the proposal, it's a, you know, the first step. You know, it's not the final destination, but it's the first step, and probably several years worth of work is to say if you track with DOT and any of your work is done on a bridge or on a waterway, DOT will require you to have liability insurance that will cover the certain impacts caused by the maritime activity that you're engaging in. You know, the obvious reason is, you know, it's possible that, you know, Skanska won't be paying constituents a dime, and the only reason is because those barges weren't on wheels and they weren't considered dump trucks.
Right. Well, I look forward to this being a part of the future, and, you know, it's many times the things that you do better in the future are because of painful lessons in the past, and certainly we had to experience one of those. The floor has not heard the grandparents' rights bill that has to do with when one spouse dies and the other spouse is found responsible, that grandparents would have a presumption of visitation, right? That's not the one that's come to the floor yet, right?
No, not yet. No.
Okay. I was talking about this the other day, and as somebody who in our own close family had a genuinely evil person, okay, who my wife and I did our very best to exclude from everything, this concerns me because you can. My worry is the one that was brought up in committee, which is that if a spouse is found responsible, like say in a car crash, and then the potentially the evil one of the evil grandparents becomes available to the children against what would have been potentially the wishes of the deceased child. I mean, this can go wrong in really serious ways. Is there, do you get that concern, and is that a concern that can maybe get, you know, brought up with the representative to maybe tailor the bill toward that kind of concern?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, first, Andrew, I'm sorry that you have that personal life experience, but yeah, now you're making a great point. That's something I'll do my best to bring up to the bill sponsor before I have to vote on it.
Great, because it was, and because I know just from our personal experience, I thought, oh my God, you know, this would be literally over the wishes of my wife's dead body if something like this took place. And those are the kinds of cases where, you know, we tend to think of like deprival of grandparents' visitation as this horrible thing against the grandparents, and it can be, no doubt. But there's also the other cases where the grandparents really shouldn't be anywhere near the kid, or the grandparent, not often both, shouldn't be near the kids. So I appreciate you taking that. And I always appreciate that you're responsive to that kind of stuff. Oh, my God. We have so much we could talk about, but we're just totally out of time. Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Alex, as always, it's a pleasure, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, Andrew.